Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we who have not seen have faith in you and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Hi.
Hello. Hi, Cindy.
Happy Easter. You know, today's an important day. Like last week, when Jesus was crucified, he said, while he was on the cross, to forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Now, how many of you have ever had to say you're sorry to someone? Anyone? And when you did say you're sorry, what did you hope that the person would say back to you? What? It's okay, I forgive you. It's okay. So when someone has done something that hurts you and they have to say they're sorry to you, what do you say to them? Okay, now the thing is, what we learned from Jesus was that before they say they're sorry, we're already supposed to forgive them, which is kind of weird, isn't it? It's like you're prepared. You're prepared to say it's okay, even no matter what they're saying to you. Because forgiving someone, it's not about the other person, really. It's not about that the person has done something that's hurtful to you. It's about how you feel about the person. You know, and that as Christians, as followers of Christ, we're supposed to forgive them no matter what. Now, that's not always easy, is it? It's like, oh, man, really? Really? Well, we can work on it because, you know, we're not Jesus. We're human. And so it's okay. But our job, as followers of Christ, is to be like Christ. And that means that we need to forgive others, even if they don't say they're sorry. We need to do it for ourselves. So that's kind of the message for today, is to say it's okay. And you don't have to say it out loud to them. If they don't say they're sorry, you have to say it to yourself. It's okay. It's okay. I forgive you. Thank you for coming up. And I think we're having Sunday school.
Yes,
and I don't know if there's a Bible
it's
here.
It's right behind Evan.
Ben.
Okay. It's there. Carry the Bible.
Can you take the Bible for us, please?
A reading from Acts. When they had brought the apostles, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 118 responsively. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation.
There is a
The right hand of the Lord has triumphed. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord has triumphed.
I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord.
The Lord has punished me sorely, but he did not hand me over to death.
Open the door for me.
This is the gate of the Lord. He who is righteous may enter.
I will give you thanks.
The same stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
On this day the Lord has acted. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Hosanna, Lord. Hosanna. Lord, send us now success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
God is the Lord.
You are my God, and I will thank you. You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Give
to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning. Amen. A reading from Revelation. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you, and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the Son, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told them, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you might come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Stop thinking about that bomb that went off last Sunday near the children's park in Pakistan. The whole world gasped in horror at such an action that was deliberately directed at Christian children celebrating Easter with their neighbors and their friends of all faiths. Now, our news media provides such a sounding board that constantly broadcasts into our living rooms both terrible images of violence and the terrible speeches of blame and fear. And this leads so many of us to believe that the world is worse, less safe, more threatening than it was days and years ago. Whether it's actually true or not, if the world is a less safe place, is not really the point. The point is that fear is powerful. I remember when we first learned about Facebook and were first in that social media platform, most of my friends posted only pictures of their favorite meal that they were having that day. But now it seems that there's so many posts and sharings that just cry out fear and more fear. Be afraid of this. Our ancestors, our ancient ancestors, survived real threats of to life and limb by relying on that very well-developed instinct of flight or fight. And we still do that in a different way, even though our fear is much more remote, you know, less present than that saber-toothed tiger that our primordial ancestors faced. But still, people are tempted to flee from the threatening world. We huddle close for protection. We circle the wagons and listen for more bad and scary news. We create social circles where we can safely huddle with like-minded people and toss contempt to those who think or act or dress in ways that are different from us. We end up seeing diversity as a threat rather than a gift. Fear paralyzes us. The disciples were afraid. They were paralyzed. Jesus was dead. And yet, there are these women with their stories. Jesus is risen. There's an empty tomb. Some of Jesus' friends had reported that they had seen him walking along the road. The disciples were afraid of a very real danger, that they were next on the list of the most wanted. The same authorities that had arrested and executed Jesus would be after them soon. So they were huddled together in a locked room for good reason. They were all there, except Thomas. He wasn't there. We don't know why Thomas wasn't there. Scripture is silent about that. Maybe he was the one that was chosen to go out, run out and pick up the to-go food from the Thai restaurant down the street. But we know that Thomas wasn't there when Jesus suddenly appears in their midst. It's rather alarming. The doors are locked, and all of a sudden, there is Jesus. One more reason to be afraid. Jesus appears even though the locked door is shut. He appears in this room and finds the huddled, fearful group. And with one word, he expels that fear in order to replace it with faith. Peace, he says. Peace to calm their fear, to ignite their courage. Peace to replace their fear with compassion. Peace to prepare them for astonishing news. He is risen. He was dead, and here he is, alive. He shows them his hands and his side. Peace to prepare them for a mission. I send you as my Father has sent me. Peace. He speaks to them again. It takes a few times for this amazing word and all that it means to really sink in. And then he breathes on them. He breathes the breath of life, the breath of peace, into their souls. Just as God had breathed into the dust at creation and gave birth to humanity, Jesus now breathes life into them. as God breathed on the dry bones of ancient Israel, he breathes the Spirit of God into these disciples so that they may become the new, the living body of Jesus in the world. And just as Jesus forgave, they too would forgive. These are amazing gifts, gifts of peace, of life, of spirit, of mission, of forgiveness, of his own presence. He breathed into them. And then he was gone. Their excitement is understandable. We have seen the Lord. They breathlessly tell Thomas when he returns. But Thomas is breathless in a different way. He has not received the breath of life, the breath of the Spirit. He has not heard that greeting of peace from Jesus. Thomas says he will not believe until he sees. It's true, isn't it, that seeing is believing. And who can blame him, really? This is just altogether too much. How can he trust this wild tale that seems to have overtaken the good sense of the rest of these disciples? It's just too risky. There are people out there beyond this door who want to do to them what they had done to Jesus. I'm not going to believe. You know, it's easy to point an accusing finger at Thomas and to his spoken doubt. But look at the rest of the disciples that were in that room. Maybe it was Thomas's doubt that influenced them. Maybe the reality of the resurrection just takes a lot of repetition to get into the heart. But whatever, a week later, after they had seen the risen Lord and Jesus had breathed life and breath and spirit and peace into them, a week later, where are they? In that huddled mass, in that upper room with the doors locked. They're still there in that locked room. You know, with all of our worries and our fears, we're in good company. We're not alone today or in our history giving in to our fears. The big ones as well as the small ones, the fears that shake our lives. This world is no more scary now than it ever was. Death still looms over us, and its power is not diminished. The truth of death, our greatest fear, comes for everyone. My grandfather, who worked in a funeral home, used to say, "No one gets out of here alive." And that's true. But worry and fear can't keep anyone from death. So the next week, Jesus returns, and the disciples are in that locked room. And this time, Thomas is with them. Jesus begins by repeating that process. He speaks and breathes his peace to this fearful group once again. It's like he knows that this calming and this peace is the first step in their mission training and in their healing. And then he turns his attention to Thomas, who that previous week had declared his need of more convincing. He wanted to see for himself. So Jesus shows Thomas his wounds, and he makes Thomas touch him to see that he's a real person. He's not an apparition. He's not a ghost. Thomas then professes his faith, and he declares an end to his doubts. And this is where the story goes wrong for most of us. We see Jesus responding to Thomas by encouraging faith in place of that doubt, and somehow we get the idea that faith and doubt are opposites. We see doubt as bad and fail to see the truth that it's fear, not doubt, that is the opposite of faith. We think fear, or we think doubt and faith are opposites, when in fact, doubt is a good thing. The truth is, a little healthy skepticism can be a very good thing, even beneficial to deepening faith. Skepticism opens room for us, gives room in us to question, to what really is, room for a new understanding of what might be. Skepticism allows Thomas to turn back and make a profound profession of faith, a bold declaration of faith that we didn't hear from the other disciples. We don't get to see the physical Jesus like Thomas did, but it's our fears that prevent us from seeing Jesus in the world. It's our fear that keeps us from seeing things that are right in front of us. It's our fear, not our questions, that keep us from belief. The gifts that Jesus gives, gifts of peace and mission and the Spirit's breath of life, of forgiveness, those are gifts for us too. Jesus' presence is real for us. We gather today as fearful, lost, hurting followers of Jesus in a very threatening world. And Jesus is present. Jesus is with us here in word and meal. He gives us gifts to transform our bodies into his body for the world. We are the wounded healers who experience Jesus' presence even as we are being transformed by it. We come to know this Easter truth that life has the last word. Death does not win. Fear does not win. We are freed in Jesus Christ from the power of fear. We are freed to live boldly in this world that's filled with violence and sin. We are freed to give ourselves as Jesus gave himself. Every time we go out from worship, we go out as the body of Christ into a world to proclaim a new reality. It's faith, not fear, that guides us. Faith that casts out fear. Faith that embraces our doubts. Faith that comes from our encounter with Jesus Christ, that opens our eyes to the wonders of what God is up to in the world, beyond the horrific acts of hatred and violence that are all too common in our world. In this upside-down kingdom of God, it is life that wins, life that gets the last word, not death. It is life. Unlike Thomas, who believes because he sees, we are free to see because we believe. We are free to see that fear does not control our lives. We don't have to give in to the fear-mongering in our world. We are free to choose a different path. We are free to choose the path of love and faith and serving and forgiving, all for the sake of a fearful world. St. John wrote in one of his letters, "Love casts out fear." So live in that love. Live in that peace. Today is the second Sunday of Easter season. We get Easter until Pentecost Day. Some places call this Holy Humor Sunday. Holy humor because this is the biggest joke on the devil. The resurrection is the biggest joke. The devil thought he won on Good Friday when Jesus was nailed to the cross and died. But ha ha, Jesus rose from the dead. So, anybody have a good joke? I heard a Jesus joke. So, Jesus and Moses after are playing golf in heaven. And as they're playing golf in heaven, they come up to a water trap. And Jesus said, "Oh, Moses, I remember you did something pretty cool with water when you were walking on the earth." And Moses said, "Oh, yeah." And the water separates. And Jesus said, yeah, I just thought that was so cool. That was so cool. But then Moses turns to Jesus and he says, oh yeah, but you did something pretty cool with water when you were walking on the earth. And Jesus said, yeah, that's right. I can walk on water. And he steps out and goes right up to his knees. And he walks back out of the water trap and he thinks for a minute. He said, I'm pretty sure I walked on water when I was living on the earth. And he takes a running jump and runs out. He goes right up to his waist in the water and fumbles around, comes back out. And he says to Moses, didn't I walk on water? And Moses said, yeah, but that was before you had holes in your feet. It's a good thing I didn't take the advice of some of my friends to just tell jokes for the whole sermon. There'd be a lot of groaning.